Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 17. One of the most important things in a person's life, really whether they're a believer or not, is having the correct friends. Friends will make who you are to a very large extent. We will become like the people that we consider to be our friends. And so the Bible has a lot to say about friendships and friends. And what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes is the mark of a true friend. Now in Proverbs 17:17, we have this mark that is of the true friend. The Word of God says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That brother is born for adversity portion is not actually talking necessarily about a biological brother. What it's saying is a brother is born out of adversity. A brother is formed in adversity. And so you have a friend who loves at all times, and in adversity becomes your brother. And this is a person who is now beyond friendship. This is a person who's really family. And this comes in adversity. But the Word of God says that a friend loves at all times. What does that mean, that a friend loves at all times? Well, if we're going to take a look at what it means, then we have to examine what it means to love. And a friend will always be very patient and suffer long with me, and will always be very gracious and kind. And these are, of course, the first two characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13:4. But then also, a friend, as far as relating to me, won't seek his own. A friend is not touchy. A friend is not puffed up. A friend doesn't seek his own way in his relationship toward me. In other words, a friend isn't going to try to tell you, this is the way you should be. This is in order for me to be happy with you, in order for us to get along, or really, in order at all, anything. They don't nitpick at you. They are people who are not touchy. They're not envious or jealous of you. They don't delight in any kind of emotional rebellion towards you. In other words, they don't react emotionally toward you. But a friend is always gracious and very merciful and kind. And this is the characteristic of a friend, that at all times, a friend will be like this. That doesn't mean that sometimes a friend doesn't challenge me. But it means that a friend loves me. And that love has its expression. Now, in Proverbs 18:24, we have this, that a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this is related, really, to Proverbs 17. Because what it's saying is that a man that has friends must show himself friendly. It does not mean that I have to be friendly to people to have friends. That's not a really great translation of the original language. The original language, what it really says there, is that a friend with many friends is going to be a friend of the world. And this is going to be a person who will compromise in order to be friendly towards someone. And they will compromise with the world, they will compromise with the ways of the world, if they want to have many friends. This person, in the original language it points out, will prove themselves to be a poor friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So a person who's going to be very friendly to everybody and anybody, and sometimes you hear people use this verse and they completely misinterpret it because they don't actually look at the original language. So, well, if you want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Well, that's not what it says. It says if you have many friends, you have them because you compromise. And it's not talking about the right sort of compromise. It's talking about compromise with worldliness, compromise with ungodliness. So in truth, there are really very few friends to be had. But the friends that are there love at all times. And they stick closer than a brother, and they become family in adversity. They're loyal in adversity. And their love for you is revealed in times of trial and of difficulty. Nobody else sticks by you, but they will never leave you. They're faithful. Somebody starts attacking you, they won't have anything to do with it. They won't listen. Somebody tries to harm you in some way, and they'll defend you when you're not there. See, they are born for adversity. And this is a friend. This is a mark of a true friend. A true friend is rare. And that's what Proverbs 18:24 is saying. A true friend is rare. Don't expect a lot of friends if you're going to be a friend of God. Because friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. The world does not love God. The world hates Him. Many Christians, I saw some as a matter of fact today, and it grieved the spirit, where a Christian young man was being very worldly with the worldly crowd in his communication and his jesting. But yet he carries the name Christian. But yet at the same time he's very worldly. And it may be just immature, I'm sure. But at the same time, how many Christians are like this? That with the world they are one way, and they are friends to the world. And then before God or in church or something, and they are a different way. You see, this is not friendship of any sort. This is compromise. And so, don't expect to have too many friends if you are a believer who is serious with God. If you are faithful to the Lord, you will not have a lot of friends, and certainly not in the world. But the friends that you have are going to be the type that are born out of adversity. These are going to be the ones that love at all times. Do we love at all times? I mean, let's ask ourselves this and don't answer it. Don't become introspective in a negative way. But sometimes it's healthy through the Spirit to take an honest look at ourselves. Do we love at all times? Is there a time when somebody does something to me and I'm kind to them? Does somebody get hostile or harsh and I'm patient with them? I don't react in kind. Or am I the type who I don't like something and I don't mind letting it be known? I'm not edifying in my speech. I'm critical perhaps. Which one am I? We should ask ourselves this. Because very often, if we are someone who has an orientation towards self, we look out and we see how outward affects inward. We see how what people do or say affects me, how it makes me feel, and this is my orientation. And to be defensive, I will say, you know, now I'm going to be angry. Or if I have a misunderstanding, I will take the negative end of it. Or will I give the benefit of the doubt and live in Philippians 4:8, where I don't necessarily understand what somebody says or does, and instead of insisting that I do, I just simply think the best of them. I think whatsoever things are lovely and pure and of a good report. See, this is going to determine whether or not I love. It's easy for me to say that I love just because I have an affection or just because I appreciate something. But that is not equivalent to love. It's not the love of God. The affection is fine, but it's fleeting. Appreciation is fine, but it's fleeting. It's here 1 minute, it's gone the next. It changes with what I had for dinner last night. Did I sleep well or did I sleep poorly? Well, there is my love conditional on that? You see, all too often, what we are with our friends is conditional on how did I sleep last night, or what did I have for dinner, or how was my day? Were the kids cooperative or were they rough today? And so this is how I will respond to you. This isn't love. It has nothing to do with love. But a friend loves at all times. And there are friends that love at all times. The Word of God says in Exodus 33, in verse 11, in the A part of the verse, that the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. God was a friend to Moses. God knows what it is to be a friend to us. And it's not because it was Moses. God was also a friend to Abraham. God was a friend to Jacob, and Jacob had no deserving of it whatsoever. Jacob was stubborn, and yet God was a friend to him. Often God is a friend to me. Why? Because He's a true friend. He loves at all times. And though I may not necessarily have everything right, and though I may not necessarily be having a good day, and though I may even have failed just a few minutes ago, He's still a good friend to me, because He loves me at all times. You see, in my day of adversity, God doesn't turn His back on me. He draws closer to me. A friend is like that also. A friend, it doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day. It doesn't matter, like, did you just fail? A friend will love you at all times. And in adversity, the friend draws all that much closer. In adversity, the friend proves himself loyal and faithful and true. And so these are the marks of a friend, that they love at all times, and that in adversity they become more than a friend. They become a brother. What are we? Are we friends? I don't mean you and I per se. I mean me. Am I a friend? It's a difficult question to answer sometimes. Because really, how do I know until adversity comes? It's very easy to be a friend when everything is fine, when there's no challenges. But what happens when adversity comes? Am I a friend? I heard the story recently of a man. He was a pastor. He was falsely accused. Right in the middle of his message, somebody comes up, or in the middle of church, somebody comes up, brings a child, said, "This is your child," and it's supposedly born out of wedlock. And the man takes the child, doesn't say a word, he takes the child home with him. It was false. But he takes the child home with him. And then a few years later, they say, "We made it up. It wasn't really his child." And he said, "You mean to say that this is not my beloved child?" See, he loved. He loved at all times. See, he wasn't necessarily exhibiting that love toward the people who were accusing him per se. He wasn't reacting at them either. He didn't defend himself. How many of us would be accused of something like this and then defend ourselves to the hilt? See, there's a problem with defending myself. If somebody accuses me, let's say falsely, or even for that matter, rightly, somebody accuses me, in order for me to defend myself, I have to accuse them. I have to say, this person is a liar. And that's a problem. Because then I, along with them, have entered Satan's ministry of accusation. And this man was not willing to do that. But instead, he loved at all times. And he loved that child. What a position to put that child into. And so he loved that child at all times, because he loved at all times. Right? Because he was a friend. It wasn't so much that he was his friend targeted at someone specific. No, he was just a friend. A friend is a characteristic of the heart. It's not something I target. I'm either a friend or I'm not. It's not that I'm a friend to one and not to the other. I'm either a friend or I'm not. And so this man took the child and he loved her. And he raised her as his own. And he loved her as his own child. And when they came and said, "That's not your child," he didn't want to even hear it. Why? Because he loved at all times. Because he was a friend. He didn't accuse the accusers. He didn't say a word. See, godliness, one of its expressions is a refusal to defend oneself. Now, if somebody goes up to you in the street and tries to physically harm you, it's one thing. But it's your reputation. How precious we consider our reputation. How precious sometimes we consider what people think of us. Hey, you don't want somebody thinking this of you. You better go defend yourself. Well, then I'm going to accuse someone. I'm not going to do that. No, when the accusations come, a friend keeps quiet. They don't say a word. They don't try to protect themselves. They just stay quiet. Because they're not going to hurt the accuser. They love that person. They may not like what that person's doing, but they're not going to hurt that person. Why? They love at all times. And in that type of adversity, they reveal themselves to be a brother. There was a story of a man. This man wasn't even a Christian, but he had this characteristic. And I wondered to myself, how many Christians could do this? It's a true story. His wife left him and took his children. And she left him saying, "This man was evil. He committed adultery. He went out on me. He took his children." He didn't say a word. And then later from his children I heard this. They later found out, once they were well into their adult years, that it wasn't so. That in fact the mother had gone on him, and she took his children, and he wouldn't accuse her to them, because she was their mother. You see, he was a friend to her, and he was a friend to his kids. He loved at all times. It's the mark of a friend. They love at all times. The person who is not a friend is one who is not going to love at all times. But a friend will love at all times. You see, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there is adversity. But that's what the Bible said. That the closeness of the relationship, the trueness of the friendship, the quality of the heart is revealed in the adversity of it. And so it may be difficult, it may be painful, it may be damaging, but what's the response? A friend will love at all times. God will never leave me nor forsake me. And this is the source that I have as a believer for friendship, that God will never leave me or forsake me. That if an accuser comes, that God knows the truth. That if accusations come and they produce the trial of my faith, then 1 Peter 1:7, that trial is more precious than gold. So the friend isn't looking so much at the accusation. They know the accusations. They know. People say, "Oh, this person doesn't know." No, they know. They speak behind their back and they will not know, but they will know. Or somebody is kind, and because they are kind, people think maybe they're a little bit stupid. Maybe they're a little bit blind. But they're not blind and they're not stupid. They're just kind. But they know. And that cost of friendship becomes their trial that's more precious than gold. And God puts a premium on this. Because He Himself in Romans 5:8 loved us. He commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we have a king who died for his subjects. And the king says, are you going to do the same? You see, he did say, love one another as I have loved you. And he commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, while we were yet against him, while we wanted nothing to do with him, he died for us. Now the thing is, if my master did that, if my king did that, am I willing to do the same? I mean, let's be honest. If the rubber meets the road, how far are you willing to be kind to people? How far will you go? As far as your convenience? As far as your reputation? As far as your mood? Your emotions? As far as your reaction? Maybe you'll go far though. Maybe you'll go as far as your life? As far as having no reputation? People say, I'm not going to let people walk all over me. I heard Pastor Stevens have a good response to that. He said, why not? What's wrong with that? Well, they're walking all over you. But what's wrong with that? My Savior washes my feet. I walk all over Him. What's wrong with that? I'm not going to let somebody say that to me. I'm not going to let somebody do that to me. I'm not going to let somebody treat me that way. Why not? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with loving at all times? What's wrong with being true when they are not? God is faithful to me when I'm not faithful. Didn't He say, given it shall be given unto you? Pressed down in good measure? Didn't He say that if I lend to the poor, I give to the Lord? Why not have those things be the case? You see, if I'm a doormat for somebody, and that's what the world would call it, and I've just cleaned their feet, then perhaps I've opened the capacity. Oh, I'm not saying, well, that's necessary, somebody come and hurt my family. But somebody wants to take a little bit of advantage of me, perhaps. Take my time, a little bit of unkindness and I put up with it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with if somebody's nasty, being kind in return? You see, perhaps God sent them to be nasty to me. Not because God wants to teach me, or perhaps because He does. But maybe because He knows that if I stand in the gap, then the life will be transformed. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe He just wants me to stand in people's gap. Places there are holes in their heart. Places where love hasn't penetrated. Places where they are perhaps untouchable and unlovely. Places that need a touch from God. And they reveal themselves in a specific way, but it does require a touch from God. And sometimes that means maybe somebody will be hostile and I'll be kind. But what's wrong with that? See, a friend loves at all times. And a brother is formed out of adversity. Sometimes it's exactly what people need. The Word of God says, in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have a situation that a person refuses to be a friend, refuses to kindness that never fails, for friend loves at all times, refuses to be patient or merciful, gentle or kind, that person really doesn't recognize that God will never leave them nor forsake them. Why do people defend themselves? You say something and they get cross with you. You do something and they get upset with you. they're very touchy and annoyable. Why do they do that? Because they don't realize that God will never leave them nor forsake them. They think that somehow they lose something by it. A friend does not seek his own. He's not worried about what he's going to lose by it. A friend doesn't worry about my humanity. If somebody is a friend to me, they love me, I may be what I am, an imperfect man with a lot of imperfection all over. If you want to find imperfection in the world, look here, right here. I've got plenty to show you if you actually want to see it. But a friend won't look. A friend won't say, you're imperfect here and you're imperfect there. Change here and change there. A friend loves at all times. See, can you imagine a friend like that? The question is, can you be a friend like that? If you can, then it's because you know that God will never leave you and He'll never forsake you. That by being that kind of a friend, you can't lose. And though somebody may try to take advantage of your friendship, they can't take anything from you. Do you know why? Richard Warmbrand had a saying one time when he was in prison. And he had to do a lot of things that were very difficult. And he learned how to think. And he said, if you will what you must, then you must only what you will. See, are we like that as friends? If I desire, if I choose to be kindness in the face of perhaps unkindness, then I'll be always be kind by choice. If I choose to give something to someone that they want to take from me, can they actually take something from me? No. So I've chosen to give. See, that friend loving at all times, it's really a way of thinking. I cannot think in self-orientation and be a friend. I always have to think in God orientation to be a friend. What God gave me, with few exceptions, He gave me so that I would pass them along. But you don't keep what you have. When God gave me love, it wasn't so I could hold on to it. When God gave me comfort, it wasn't so that I could hold on to it. When God gave me joy, it wasn't so that I could hold on to it. It's so I could spill it. You see, that friend that knows how to receive spills over what he has. And so it's not difficult to give. Somebody wants to take, it's okay, I want to give. And it works very nicely that way. But the question is, are we that type of a friend? Because the mark of true friendship is right there, that a friend loves at all times. In John 15:15, the Word of God says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. It's amazing that God would call us friends. It's not that we are friends of God, that He's a friend of ours. And this is why in John 16:13, He sends the Spirit, the Comforter, to show us the things to come and to guide us in all truth, because He is our friend. He shows us that which He has seen of the Father, and He calls us His friend. He lets us in on the secret. He lets us in on the plan. He lets us in on the vision. And He says, come here and enjoy it with me. Come here and I'll share it with you. He lets us know what He's thinking. Why? Because He is our friend. He doesn't exclude us. He doesn't say you're not good enough. He doesn't say you have this series of faults and this is how I expect you to be better. Abraham, He said, this was long before Isaac was born. In Genesis 18:17, I'm going to tell Abraham what's going on. I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm planning on doing to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a thing to tell Abraham. But Abraham was his friend. A friend is the person you desire to share with. Not because it's an obligation, but because they love you. Not because you ought, but because the love they have for you makes you want to tell them. That's a friend. A friend is a safe place. There's not too many safe places in the world, not even in the Christian world. Places without judgment or criticism, without anger or hostility, without reaction, without negativity. There's not many safe places. But a friend is a safe place. Young people, when it's time for you to consider getting married, is the person you're marrying your friend? Do they love at all times? Are they a safe place for your heart? See, ask yourself that. Because if they're not, it's going to be difficult. Because friendship will be superficial at best. You may be a friend to them, but will they also be a friend to you? They may be a friend to you, but will you also be a friend to them? Ask yourself that. Are they a safe place for your heart? And here's the other question. Are you a safe place for their heart? Are you a friend? A friend loves at all times. Which times? All times. Not sometimes. All times. Otherwise, they're not a friend. A friend doesn't love with natural friendship, human love. Friend loves with God's love, God's quality. The same love that went to Peter after he denied him and said, "Peter, do you love me?" You know what Peter's answer was? You look in the original language. He said, "No, I don't." You see, he said, "Yes, you know I love you," but in real, he said, "Yes, you know I have filial love for you." He said, "Yes, you know I simply appreciate you," because Jesus was asking, "Do you have agape?" And Peter said, "I have filio." Do you have that quality of love that is patient and kind, that suffers long, that doesn't seek its own, that is not puffed up, that is not self-oriented? And Peter answered, "You know that all I have for you is simply a human affection. My affection wavers." This was the same man who just that few hours before said, "I will die for you, Jesus." But then a few hours later, he denies that he even knows him. Why? Because his love, his friendship was based in his emotions. And it was nothing more than an affection. But his emotions caused him to be deceived into thinking that he loved when he didn't. And Jesus said to him, "I'll take what you have. Because though you don't know how to love me yet, Peter, though you don't know how to be my friend yet, Peter, I will be your friend. And I will love you. And I'm not going to turn my back on you because you don't have it yet. I'm simply going to give you the time to grow under the love that I have for you. And when you are older, then you will love me to the point where you will do what you would not want to do, simply because it's my desire." See, Jesus turned Peter into what he was by his friendship. Peter became the great apostle by the friendship of God. Are we friends? Are we friends to people? Or do we demand that people be our friends? See, that's the thing. A friend doesn't make those type of demands. A friend just is. They just love. And they don't look for what's coming in return. a just love. Are we friends? Do we love people when they don't love us? Are we kind to people when they're not kind to us? Are we friends? The Word of God says in John 15:13 that no one has greater love than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And then he said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Are we a friend to God? Do we do that which he has commanded us? Well, the first and the great commandment was that we love. Right? In Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God. That's the first and the great commandment. Love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because faith works by love. And Abraham was a friend of God, and it was because of his faith in James 2:23. He trusted God, but that he had to learn the love of God before he could trust him. You see, if I'm to be a friend of God, I have to trust him. But there's a catch to this. If I'm to be a friend of yours, I have to trust God. It's not that I'm a friend of yours if I trust you. I'm a friend of yours if I trust God. Because apart from trusting God, there is no real expression of faith. There is no real expression of the cross. There is self-preservation. But greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. I'm not going to be able to do that unless I trust God, and I won't be able to trust him unless I know he loves me. So if I'm not a friend, the reason is this: I don't know the love of God. If I'm someone who is critical, the reason is this: I don't know the love of God. If I'm someone who walks around in self-defense mechanisms, the reason is this: I don't know the love of God. If I'm someone who's quickly reactionary, the reason is this: I don't know the love of God. And you know what? I can't look to other people for it. Because God won't let me see it in other people per se if this is my demand of them. God will say, "You can only make that demand of me." And he'll supply the demand. Are we friends? Do we know the love of God? Do we know the love of God to the point where we're willing to be a victim even though we're innocent? Were we willing to let someone accuse us and not answer back for their sake? You see, do you know the love of God? Because if you don't, that will be impossible. But if you do, you'll value that person too much to do it any other way. So the question is, do you know the love of God in order to be a friend? The friend loves at all times. Where did he get it? Well, he got it from God. Because there's no other way to love at all times. You can only do that if you've gotten it from God. The Word of God says in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And in 13:35 of John, that's what marks us as disciples, as those who are learning of him, that we love one another as he has loved us. Now, what does that mean? See, he loved me enough to be my friend. And by that, I don't mean this casual thing like we call acquaintances friends. I mean the kind that would die when he's the king and I'm the subject. It's not that we just die for somebody else or go into battle, try to fight them, you know, hopefully not die. No, he chose it because he knew that that was the price of a friendship with us. Are we willing to do the same? If the price of a friendship is to lay down your life, are you willing to be a friend? Because the price of a friendship is laying down your life. If I don't lay down my life, I won't be a friend. Other people may be friends to me, but I won't be a friend unless I lay down my life. And so the question is, are we friends? Because this is the mark of a friend. He lays down his life out of love for the person, even when they don't love him back. Are you a friend? Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. Now, the opposite of this is hatred. The Word of God says in Proverbs 10:12 that hatred stirs up strife. Hatred stirs up strife. But love covers all sins. You see, sometimes if somebody does something against me, I cover it. I don't say anything about it. I just cover it. Oh, if I have aught against a brother, then yes, I am to go to that person alone. But to that person alone. Not to everybody else as well. Because love covers all sins. Love doesn't go around saying, do you know what they did? Love covers all sins. But hatred stirs up strife. Hatred is the one that tolerates the backbiting tongue. Hatred is the one that listens to accusations. But love covers all sins. You know the interesting thing about all sins here? It's all sins real and false. All sins that have taken place and all sins that haven't. And so that covers anything that people talk about. All sins. Whether it's real, whether it's not, it really doesn't make any difference. It's all the same thing. You see, even if it's real, the blood of Christ has dealt with it. So it's really all the same thing. Yet how many people stand there and gossip? How many people stand there talking about other people in negativity? How many people stand there and backbite? How many people stand there and talk to you about everything they don't like about somebody? That's hatred. It stirs up strife. But love covers all those things. Love will edify the person. Love covers all those things. There's a story about George Washington. There was a man who had been an enemy of George Washington's. Personal enemy. Personal attacks. And the man who was George Washington's enemy was falsely accused of a crime. And he was brought to trial. And George Washington was brought in to testify. And he would not testify negatively about that man. He said, this man did not do it. Now, he was George Washington's enemy. He said, this man would not do it. He would not do it. He did not do it. And he protected and defended that man in trial. And the prosecuting attorney said to George Washington, yeah, you cannot protect your friend so much. And he said, my friend, he's not my friend. He's my worst enemy. But he was still a friend to that man. Because he would not take any advantage for any negative report. And it didn't matter, true or false, he did not take any advantage of any negative report. And he went to bat for him, even though he was his enemy. Because Washington was a friend. See, hatred stirs up strife. How many people would take advantage of that? And maybe they wouldn't lie in court, but maybe they wouldn't be so adamant either, or maybe they wouldn't want to go and testify. People are like that sometimes. You wound them, you hurt them, you nasty to them, whatever, and then they'll try to pay you back. And they won't protect you because they're hurt and wounded and all that. But that's because the life wasn't laid down and the friendship wasn't there. Would you stick up for an enemy? Would you stick up for an accuser? Would you stick up for an enemy? Somebody who lies about you, perhaps. Somebody who falsely accuses you behind your back. Would you stick up for your enemy? Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those that spitefully use you. Would you do that? Do we secretly get pleasure when an enemy suffers? Jesus said, love your enemy and do good to those who spitefully use you. Do we do that? Are we friends? See, we throw this word friendship around very lightly, as though it wasn't a profound meaning. But this is the mark of a friend. They love at all times. In adversity, they draw close. Are we friends? I know there are some people who are friends. Are we among them? It's difficult to say until adversity comes. Do we cover up strife? In Ephesians 1:7, do we practice forgiveness because we have redemption through His blood, according to the riches of His grace? Are we willing to pass that on? In Ephesians 4:29, do we let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth except that which is good for the use of edifying? Is that our communication? That which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer? Did you ever get hurt by somebody and then be very kind in your speech to them? Say kind things to that person though they wound you deeply? Are you willing to take the wrong? Or are you going to say, take the wrong for me? See, those are the two opposites. One takes the wrong and one says, take the wrong for me. One is a friend. Which one are we? It's an important question for us to ask ourselves. Do we have the mark of a true friend? Because if we don't, we don't know the love of God. But you know what? The majority of people don't know the love of God. The majority of Christians don't know the love of God. How many people in business consider themselves to be good Christians and yet they are willing to take advantage of the person they're doing business with, or perhaps give them less than? How many people in business are willing to treat someone unethically or somehow rip them off even just a little bit? If I'm in business and I'm willing to be unethical, if I'm in business and I'm willing to cheat a little bit so I can take somebody's money from them but not necessarily deliver what I said, it's not that I'm not being a friend to them. Obviously I'm not. But I'm not being a friend to God either. I don't know His love when I do that. You see, the love of God is not compartmentalized. Do we have a compartmentalized love of God? Do we have a compartmentalized God? I'm a Christian here, but over here, it's dog-eat-dog world. I'm a Christian here, but over here, after all, isn't the name of the game in business to make a buck? And if I can make a buck, and I even cheat you a little bit about it, and you'll give me $10 instead, and I'll say, hey, I've had a good day, I've cheated them, and I got my $10. Oh, I don't worry about the fact that maybe I hurt somebody, but I got my $10, and that's the name of the game. Is that the kind of business that you run, if you're in business? If it is, then your business is an idol, and Satan is running it. Because your business is not used for the glory of God. Your business is not there with the heart of God in it. Your business is serving mammon. And you cannot serve God and mammon. And you can call yourself anything you like on Sunday morning. But Sunday morning Christianity is no Christianity at all. What are you like in business? That'll reveal your Christianity. What are you like in your dealings with people? That'll reveal your Christianity. I don't care what kind of doctrine you get at church, and I don't care how much you pray, and I don't care how much you read the Bible, and I don't care how much you listen to the messages, and I don't care how long you've been around. Are you cheating people in business? You're a lousy Christian. And yes, you're forgiven, and yes, you're given grace by God, but you're a terrible testimony. You don't represent Christ, honestly, to the people you're doing business with. Is the soul more important than the dollar, or is the dollar more important than the soul? Well, if I make a lot of dollars, I can put them into missions. Why don't you be a missionary as a businessman? Hey, Dr. Carson's a missionary as a doctor. He glorifies God as a doctor. Why can't I glorify him as a businessman? You see, I'm tired of seeing businessmen carry the name of Christian and yet not deliver a good product for which they collect a lot of money. And they know they're doing it. And they know they're ripping people off, and they'll even tell you about it. Well, you know what? That's no Christianity at all. You're not a Christian part-time. You're not a Christian in church. Either you're a Christian or you're not. So which is it? Pastor Stevens once said, there's no such thing as 99% spiritual and 1% carnal. You're 1% carnal, you're all carnal. So businessman, what are you? Do you love at all times? See, you say you love God, but do you hate your brother? Because if you hate your brother, you don't love God. Well, I hate him. I just don't tell him everything I'm doing and get a few extra bucks out of him. That's nice. You hate your brother. You don't love God. I don't know why this is coming so strongly about businessmen. But any businessman who's willing to rip off a customer does not love God. He's a servant of mammon. And he's not a servant of God. If you're listening on the internet and you're a businessman, you make sure that your business is simply an extension of the heart of God in your life. And if it's not, it's an idol. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Do we do that? Do we love one another? In 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the mark of a friend. A pure heart. Love with a pure heart. Not one that seeks its own. Not one that has ulterior motive. And that's something only God and you know. And sometimes just God. Not one that is corrupted. Not a love that only loves as long as things are pleasant and turns nasty when things are not. That's not a pure love. The mark of a friend is this, that they love at all times. So the question is, do you love at all times? Are you a friend? We have to ask ourselves this, because it'll reveal a great deal about our condition before God. Are we friends? Amen?